and it's out of Psalm 145, and I just want to read verse 4 again out of that. This is which is what we talked about last week. It says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. So even in our congregational DNA, there's a thing that is all about generational blessing and pouring out from one generation to the next. I mean, we've been a congregation for a little over 25 years now, so we've gone through a whole generation. My kids are all grown. Many of the leaders here who started here, our kids are all grown and they're starting families now. And so we're beginning to see that second generation of children. And hopefully we've learned a little bit about, you know, what's important for kids. And I've always thought, since I'm a leader and a pastor in the church, my whole goal has been that I want my kids to love, after all this is over, after they've been raised and they start their families, if I can just get them to the place where they love God and love me after all this, then that's a good thing. And I have to say that it's true. I mean, they do. And all the rest of it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I don't care if they're powerful movers and shakers in the kingdom of God. My desire has always been that they go further faster than I did, because I didn't get even saved until I was 26. And so they grew up in this environment. The interesting thing is, three of the boys, the oldest three, live in Southern California, and they have a hard time finding a place to be a part of a church. And part of it is because we've always been a relatively small congregation that was a little bit feisty and a little bit chaotic and a little bit, I mean, even being here this morning and meeting at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock, it used to be in the first 5 or 6 years that we were a church, we met in other churches' facilities and then met in the evening, and so you had to, like, pay attention or you didn't know where we were going to meet next week. And so this is kind of like in our roots, this whole idea of movement and change. Change has always been something I've enjoyed and loved, and to the chagrin of many people who don't like change, I'm sorry that you're stuck. But so there's something always evolving in our midst. When there's children in your midst, there's always something changing, always something evolving, always children growing. So we were talking about it and saw that, you know, this week we're going to go down the lake and be part of what the church in the city is doing. And then next week we're going to pray for our kids. At the end of the month, Mike and Renee Fox are having the kids all out to their house, and they just do a big wing ding for the kids. And so I asked Carrie Beth to just come and just kind of paint a picture of where we see we want to go. She's been... this young lady has been orchestrating what we do for our kids for, I don't know, 5 years? 13 years? 40 years? 3 years? She's extraordinary. She's brilliant. I don't know. It's just something that's in her. She is really good at figuring out how to make it real for them. And she's selfless, and she has a bunch of kids that she carts around with her all the time, not only her kids, but her kids' friends. And she's just a huge blessing to us, mostly because she cares. And so it's all yours, girl.
Mostly because I have Jesus. Actually, you paraphrased everything that I have in here, so we're good. I'm free to go. Yeah. I'm just going to pray real fast so that we just center it. Father, I just ask you to come and just be here in this place. Holy Spirit, just guide my words and let there be less of me and more of you, Father. And anything that you have for these people, I just pray that I can convey it in a clear way. Amen. Okay, so some of you, I mean, Jeff kind of gave an introduction. I'm Carrie Morris. I'm part of the children's ministry team here at Evangel. And like Jeff said, he wanted me to come talk about what we're doing back there. Although I didn't realize that I was going to be talking in front of adults, so I might have to simplify my teaching a little bit, because normally I'm teaching the kids. Think about that one. They're pretty amazing. Okay, the parents, your kids are amazing. They are fun, unique, and as parents, you guys are doing a really good job just raising them in Jesus. Not only are we teaching them, but they're also teaching us. And the reason why I'm kind of going off of my paper is because there's so much stuff that I could talk about, but I'm trying to follow it pretty well to keep it pretty clear. As a children's ministry here at Evangel, we decided a few years ago to make the group just one group. For a couple of reasons, we didn't have a ton of kids, and also we didn't have a ton of teachers. So that kind of solved that problem at that time. Over the past couple of years, Evangel, you guys know, we've prayed for more people to enter the Evangel family, to come in here, and as teachers in our teachers' meetings and stuff, we've been praying for more kids to come, and praise God, that's happened. Renee talked about it a couple weeks ago, that we're there. We've got lots and lots of kids back there, and we're expecting more, and so at this point, we're going to try and split them into two groups. What Jeff wants me to talk about is kind of like where we are right now, where we're going, how we're going to get there, what we need to get there. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about where we're at right now. The children's ministry right now is first and foremost loving the kids like Jesus called us to. Sometimes we're teaching, and then sometimes we're just having conversations and about their interests and building relationships with them. Establishing a scriptural foundation is a very important part of how we teach the kids so that they have a biblical worldview. I mean, our world right now is so chaotic and crazy. And if they can have that foundation from the Bible, a biblical worldview, that gives them a strong foundation to hold who God created them to be and to know who they are. Right now, the kids are going through a discipleship book from Samaritan's Purse, and it's called The Greatest Journey. It's provided to the kids around the world through Operation Christmas Child. So if you've heard of Operation Christmas Child, those kids that receive a box also receive this discipleship book, and they have teachers over there that go through them. We know most of the kids here know that basic stuff that is in that book, but it's a discipleship book. So our goal right now is for them to go through this. It's going to be all summer long. And by the end of it, they're going to take ownership and becoming, we're going to have like a graduation for them. And so they're going to graduate as disciples of Jesus Christ after going through this book. And it comes right, we're going to be finishing it right before school starts. So they're going to have that ownership and saying like, I'm a disciple of Christ. I know how to tell my friends and family about the gospel. And so they're going to have this like confidence, and we're going to encourage them as a body to do that. Amen. So when school starts, you're going to have kids on fire to tell about Jesus and not be scared, because they're going to have a biblical worldview. And see, this is where we get a little off track, is when the Holy Spirit comes. Chris saying, we're no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. And that's huge. Like, worship is so huge because it just goes so deep in the heart. And when we can have our kids so in love with Jesus that they know they're a child of God and there's no fear in telling the gospel or even dying for the gospel, And when they can come to that understanding of, well, whatever happens, it doesn't matter, because to live is Christ or to die is gain. So either way, but there's no fear. And that's a huge goal. And so for that to be plain was pretty important. Okay, so we're going through the discipleship program, or the booklet. They're learning how to tell others about Christ. But when we're not doing books and things like that, which we don't do very often, about 5 years ago, Pastor Jeff, where are you? You sat down with you and someone else, I think, and you created an outline. And it's just an overview of the scripture. It has like main themes and like the life of Jesus, who was Jesus, and the heart of the Father and stuff like that. And so that's what we normally go through. And it takes about a year, a little bit over a year, to go through that whole outline. So for the past 3 years, we've gone through that outline. Just about, we're in our third year of that. And it really, the outline allows us as teachers to be led by the Spirit. And so we have a main idea of what to teach about, but then it allows us to, you know, be in communion with God and ask him, what do you have for the kids? And there's so many things, like, you know, who is Jesus? Could, you know, Kim could be talking about who is Jesus and use this scripture. And next year, a different teacher's talking about who is Jesus and use this scripture. So they're constantly being, they are constantly knowing who he is, but with different scriptures. They're in the word, and they're learning that. So really, we could use that outline for years and years and never touch on the same scripture, and those kids are going to be going deeper and deeper into relationship with Jesus. Where are we going? So our team of teachers is amazing. They allow the Holy Spirit to tell them things the Father has for our kids. Their teachings comes from the heart of the Father, and I see it when I'm back there. So I'm not out here very often, and that's not because I have to be back there all the time. It's because I want to be back there with the kids hanging out. And also, I'm learning from, most of the teachers back there are elders in the church. Our elders are teaching your kids. This is important. Like, this is huge. This is only going to happen in Evangel. Like, you are here for a reason. If you have kids here, it's for a reason. It's because they're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. I'm spending time back there. And, you know, sometimes, like, I'm thinking, man, am I missing anything out here in the service? Like, am I getting filled up? And I don't feel tired or anything like that. And then I come out here, or I walk by, and like, seriously? You guys are talking about the same things that we're talking about back there. I'm like, so many times, I'm like, Jeff, were you looking at our schedule when you taught about that? Or, you know, even different teachers like Kevin and like all these different people. And it's like, our God is so good that no matter where we are, his presence is here, and he's going to fill us up with what he wants. And so as long as our teachers are being led by the Holy Spirit, and our pastor is, and we are, then together we're one body. We're not kids and adults or whatever. We're one body. So that's that. I mean, and again, Evangel is a super special place. So what I'm saying is, like, back there, I'm being filled. I'm not just being fed, like, little bit of milk because, you know, they're young, so they need milk. No, they're getting fed the meat of the Word of God. I'm getting fed, so I know they are getting fed the meat. Where we're going as a children's ministry is where God leads us. These things that God has placed in my... There are things that God has placed in my heart and other teachers' that gives us direction, but ultimately, Evangel Children's Ministry is going where God leads us. So how are we going to get there? Let's make this like a, you know, now I'm not just talking, I'm going to involve you guys. We already talked a little bit about the fact that we're being blessed with more kids. Thank you, Jesus. However, there is a practical issue that having more kids in class, that we have more kids in class, so our ability as teachers to connect and build relationship is hindered because of the sheer number in there. We, as you heard from Renee a couple weeks ago, need to split the large group into two separate groups. In a practical and lawful sense, we need to make sure we have enough teachers in each classroom, which is at least two. I've done the math. It's like we normally have two teachers on the schedule per week. So when we split them into two classes, I believe, if I did the math right, we need four teachers per week to be on the schedule. So, as of today, we have eight teachers, four teams of teachers. We need to double that number of teachers to have the ability to have two groups of kids. The goal in that, again, is to be able to show the love of Jesus to the kids and build relationships with them. What does that mean? It means right now our team is asking for eight people to volunteer to be on the teaching schedule. Eight of you. Is it you? Before you come up with a reason why that's not for you, hear me out. I've been in leadership through, like, basically my whole life. Middle school, even before that, I was like a teacher's helper, you know. Middle school, high school leadership team, into college. We learn things like low-risk and high-risk activities. Say, for instance, you are with a group of kids. Some are outgoing and love to talk. Others are more introverted and would rather not talk in front of a group of people. As a leader, you want to make sure to choose an activity that the maximum number of people in that, or kids, is going to be involved. So you choose a low-risk activity. For kids, a low-risk activity might be a game of hot potato. They don't have to talk, they don't have to hold the ball for very long, and depending on how large the group is, they only get the ball, you know, a certain number of times. It's the larger the group, the less chance of them to get the ball a lot. What we, as a children's ministry, are asking you to do is a low-risk activity. If you don't feel comfortable being the main teacher, that's okay. We understand that. Some people don't feel comfortable teaching. Personally, Jeff, you have a way of pulling people out of that low risk up into, but after you give them a chance to be a low risk. For me, example, I'm an introvert and I do not like talking in front of people, including kids. But when you practice it and God calls you to it, it works out. Okay, so we need two teachers in a class, but only need one to do the teaching. The other person is going to be, like, helping just, like, pass out snack or whatever the other teacher's teaching on, maybe, like, just help assisting doing crafts and stuff like that. Just building relationship with the kids. This is a low-risk activity. Just like in hot potato, the larger the group, the less chance or less time with the given, in a given amount of time, you have to teach. Right now, we have a rotation schedule of 3 weeks. Mike and Renee just got done teaching. They won't teach again until 9 weeks from now. So that's a pretty good space of time. They teach for 3 weeks, and then they're out here for 9 weeks. And that's with four groups of teachers. So if we had one more, then they're only teaching every 12 weeks, which is, who's good with math? How many times a year? Anyone? Four times a year. four times a year if we had two more teachers on that rotation. If we just get eight more people to help teach with us, teach the kids, which I guess I should go into maybe less of this and more of what God calls us to. So if you're at Evangel, you're here for a reason. You have, I mean, Evangel's a pretty different church as far as how things go. We're led by the Spirit a lot. And so you have gifts that God gave you. And we as a community need to raise up our kids as a community of people. Because for me as a parent, I don't know everything, and I don't have all the gifts that God gives to people. So how am I going to teach? Like, Bella and Victoria love to dance, and I'm not a good dancer. I mean, like, I don't have to be good, but it's not my thing. But then we have Marie over here who loves dancing, and that's her gift, is like dance and worship through dance. And so for me, I want Marie back there with my kids, teaching them and showing them what they can do through worship, through dance. And same with like music, and I'm just like not a musical person. But then we had Chris back there, and we want to get people with prophetic gifts, and we want those people around our kids so that they can be exposed, that's the word, exposed to all these fivefold ministries that God has put in us. And really, some people might think you just have one or two. I think that we're called to be exposed and know all of them and have all of them in us, and maybe we're stronger in a certain area. And so so when you're thinking about that, well, I don't know, I'm not a teacher, think about the gifts that God has given you. We had Becca back there because she loves gardening, and so she came back and taught the kids about growing, and we talked about growing in Jesus and, like, you know, using metaphors back there for them in that sense. And there's lots of parables about growing and seeds growing. And so she came back there. And so we're asking you guys to use your gifts for the kids, because this is a Jesus generation we're growing up right now. Okay. So, it's a fairly low-risk activity, and maybe when you feel comfortable, when you get into that more comfortable spot, we'll say, hey, do you want to teach? Like, is there anything on your heart that God wants for the kids, you know? Like, is he putting something on that he wants the kids to know? And so that moves into it, like, a little bit higher risk. But to start out, when you're signing up, which I have sign-up sheets right here, when you're signing up, it's a low-risk activity, and the kids need you. The kids need you, so I'll pass them out. You guys can put one on that side and this side. So we'll contact you if you sign up. When you sign up, not if. Okay. So I don't, okay, we're doing good. Okay, this is good. Okay. So I've kind of talked about it. I went through kind of what Jeff, I wanted to get through that before, like, I said my heart, because there's so much on my heart for the kids that God has given me, I mean, over the years. But my heart is the kids grow up in a community of people who love Jesus, who can teach them from all the areas of fivefold ministry, so they're not just one, but they're all those ministries together, so that they can respect the people around them who might not be the best teacher, but is an amazing evangelist, and they are able to be the body of Christ here on earth. Ephesians 3:16 and through 19. And here's another example of how good God is. So Jeff, we met. He was meeting with people to tell us about the deep roots that he was planning on doing. And he's like, I got this verse that it's based on. And he's like, it's Ephesians 3, and I don't know specifically what the number, but it was one of those numbers within 16 through 19, or maybe all of them. Same one. It's, and just so you know, I'm like, seriously? Like, I looked it up, and I'm like, that sounds really familiar. It's the verse that I had written on the board in the classroom at that exact time. Actually, it had been like 1 or 2 weeks on that board. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And that's where I think, I mean, it shows that that's the heart of God. Like, why else would he give that to Jeff to do this, like, Sunday evening thing, and then also want the kids to just, like, learn it and know it? That was their memory verse, like, to really know it and understand it. And then I got this devotional book for Kiana and my girls, but Kiana can read. And Kim, remember these? How long ago was that? A while ago, like 6 or 8 months, maybe 8 months ago. Somebody had asked if we could have some kind of something, a list of the kids' names so that they could be praying. In the teacher's meeting, we talked about this. Can we do something like have a list of names so we can be praying for the kids during our work or during our week? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So then I was like, oh, a bookmark would be good because, you know, it's in their Bible and or whatever. And so I'll put a list of the kids' names who are there and then a scripture. And Jeff, the scripture 8 months ago was Ephesians 3:16-19. So 8 months ago, the Father, God, the Father gave this verse to be praying over the kids. And when I picked that verse, that memory verse, I had no recollection of this. So like the confirmation in what he's doing here is amazing. And like, thank you, Jesus, for that. Like, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So that is my heart for the kids. My heart is that they are lifted higher so that they can accomplish kingdom goals. My heart is that they not just know who Jesus is, but they literally thirst for him with each moment of their day. That they would be a Jesus generation who is so in love with Jesus that they are prepared to do his will no matter what. That Jesus is not just part of their life. He is all of their life. He is their everything. That they would be the prepared bride of Christ that is ready for his return. And just to go back to worship, we're no longer a slave of fear. We're a child of God. He split the seas so I could walk right through it. He split. So Moses, you know, God split the sea. And the people were like, oh, man, they were probably nervous. I don't want that fear in the kids. I want them to, by faith, he split the seas, and they just walk right through it. They walk without even doubting one doubt, that they grow up knowing and having faith that we have never even imagined. that he's, we call out for fire, that he sets a seal upon their heart. And this is so funny, Jeff. You said with kids, you know, you don't, just literally what you just said, I had written down during worship. The goal with kids, if we say we have to accomplish this thing today, and if we don't hold to that and we don't reach that and we reflect and say, oh man, we didn't accomplish getting through this today, we failed. That's, we aren't getting it as teachers, we're not getting it as body. If instead we say we have a direction that we are moving towards and we keep moving forward, then there is something good about that. God wants us to move. He wants those kids to be in movement towards him. And so, you know, there's, as far as a goal for the children's ministry, just moving forward towards Jesus. So, it's 10:30, and I could tell about Kiana's dream. I don't, what do you think? Okay, I was invited to an elders meeting, and we were at this place where we were saying, gosh, there's so many kids, and, you know, some of it, we just feel like they're, some of them are slipping through, you know, we want to build a relationship with them, and so what's our next move? And we had already talked about splitting them maybe in September, and so we prayed about it, and we asked God for wisdom, and we wanted him in our direction and move with as far as what to do, because we really were at a loss of, like, not knowing what to do. We prayed, and the elders prayed, and I went home, and the next day, Kiana was like, my daughter's 7, she's like, Mom, I had a bad dream last night. And I was like, oh, well, what was it about? Or actually, I didn't even ask her. I was like, oh, that's not good. She's like, yeah, I came in your room and I prayed over you and Victoria. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Awesome. That's really good. You know, when you're having, because it was a scary dream, she said, or it was a bad dream. And I said, yeah, when you're having bad dreams, it's always good to pray, you know, because I've tried to teach her, you know, if there's bad, if you're having a nightmare or something, you just ask Jesus to be, I mean, just ask Jesus to be there with you. And if it's a bad dream from the enemy, you can rebuke it and you can say, go away in Jesus' name, and it has to go. And so I've taught her that from, you know, when she was little. And so I was just thinking, you know, she had a bad dream and she prayed. So that just was that, and I didn't really ask her anything else. Well, the next day, she was, like, sitting at the kitchen table, and I was, like, making her breakfast or something. She's like, Mom, did I tell you I had a dream, a bad dream? I go, well, was it? Then I'm like, huh. Was it bad or was it just scary? Like, what was it? Well, I don't want to tell you. And I'm like, well, just tell me what it was. And she's like, well, it was Grandma Vicky was pulling all of us, all my family in the whole world in a wagon. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, she was pulling us in a wagon, and you and Dad and everyone else, all their parents, were back in the back, and we were scared because Grandma Vicky was pulling us ahead of you guys, and we couldn't see you guys. And, okay, we'll fix it, okay. And I'm like, okay, I just kept on asking her questions. Just a second, I gotta get my brain working again since my kid just came up here. So she's like, yeah, we were scared, we couldn't see you guys. And I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, okay, well, what happened? Well, we came to two paths. I'm like, kids do not talk like this. Jesus, what are you saying? Like, what? We came to two paths, and then Grandma Vicky just had one of us pull, and we were really scared, and we didn't want to do it. And I was like, oh. And you, and before, when we were walking behind, she said, you guys were walked out, you and Dad and everyone were, and the parents were walking behind, walking with the judge. Kids, do not say that. I'm like, and this reminds you, she had this the night after, I mean, that night after the elders meeting, she had that dream. I didn't ask her about it. And then she's saying, Mom, I had a scary dream. So I'm like, what? And I'm trying to ask her a question. I'm like, well, what did the judge look like? I don't know. You're just walking with the judge. And I'm like, what in the world? And then they came to two paths. And I'm like, well, did you guys choose a path? Well, yeah, we started walking down the path, and then we came around a corner, and then there you guys were. And I'm like, God, what, like, what do you have? And Grandma Vicky, she grew up in the church. She's not like someone that Kiana, she sees her, you know, every once in a while, but it's not like someone she trusts, like her Grandma Tori, you know, her Grandma Tori she loves. So I'm just thinking maybe, like, that represents the elders of the church. And the elders are back there teaching and pulling them along. And then at some point, the elder stops and says, you gotta go forward. And those kids, Leah is my niece, and Chris is her husband. They went to IHOP in Kansas City. And a huge thing I remember coming back is, like, there's forerunners. They're going before us. And it's going to be scary. But as long as they keep their eyes on Jesus, they're going to be okay. God will never lead them astray. So there might be some, I mean, we got a lot of prophetic people in Evangel. So if you have any other comments about the dream that she had, feel free to come up here. But I'm just going to close. Father God, thank you for these people at Evangel. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for the teachers, Father God, for the pastors and elders here. Father God, thank you for the children that you have placed here for a certain special reason, Father God. And we ask that you just fill us up with your wisdom and your understanding, and that we can pour out your heart, Father God, not ours, your heart into the kids here, Father God. And we just thank you for who you are, and thank you for your love, Father God. Amen.